And that pretty much brings us to the end of the current 2019 section of Bathrob Spears Broadsides for Sunday, February 10th. However, we're going to leap back now to a flashback 23 years ago to October 27th, 1996 for a sort of a snapshot and to fill up some space here on this particular program. Doing these long shows sometimes puts me in a somewhat gaga, goggy, gloggly, glazed out condition, so I have to rely on hopefully some entertainment and education from the past, and that's what this is. You're going to be hearing a tape that was made at a time when free radio, as now, did not have a studio, although we were broadcasting on the air, unlike now when we are currently, unfortunately, only on the stream. And, by the way, for listeners, we're looking for a studio space, 10 by 10, willing to pay a $300 reward for it. If you can find us a space for a year, it should be indoors. Well, it can be outdoors, too. We can build a little shed around it that functions as a de facto studio. It's just a place where we can be with access to electricity, internet, somewhere a bathroom access. Be nice if we're near some bus line so people who don't have vehicles can get there and be broadcasting as well. But give a call to 423-4833 if you have any ideas or suggestions or want to provide any support. Or if you're interested in becoming a member of the Free Radio Collective, we are still welcoming new broadcasters and doing some distant broadcasting through a TeamViewer and other sort of podcasting mechanisms, which I'm far over my head, but they're used. And that's how this show is getting to you. So give a call to 423-4833 with information. We're also looking for a transmitter site, a place where we can set up an antenna that has been scared away from the last landlord, who has not given any penalties or, jail time or court problems, but who was threatened. And that's usually what happens with free radio. We have to kind of move around when the FCC finally bothers to come after us. We're such a sort of low wattage station. Then we move when the landlord obviously requests us to move. The person who's nice enough to let us put up an antenna on their property. So let us know at 423-4833. You can also contact us via freakradio.org, which is our website. And you can also find schedules and other some archives there. My archives, as I let people know, are at the Huff website. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's at huffsantacruz.org, all one word, small letters, huffsantacruz.org. In any case, getting back to what's coming up at this flashback, which is coming up next, you are going to be hearing discussions of candidates running in the local elections of 1996, way back when there actually were some truly radical candidates running, David Silva for one, Kristen Anderson for another. You're going to hear a lot of interviews around the end of the 7.5 month City Hall sleepers vigil and the aftermath of the chain gang lockdown demonstration at City Hall, which resulted in David Silva's being thrown against a pillar by then Police Sergeant Andy Crane, for which Silva later recovered some money, but he had to leave the election. Crane was the sort of a jovial officer who apparently wasn't too jovial when he started exercising his use violence if you feel like it approach, or if you and then not get held accountable for it, at least by the police department. He was never fired, or as far as I know, disciplined. You're going to hear about officers Eveleth and Over using littering tickets and other things to go after people on the mall. Through the procedure of directing them to put out a cigarette, and then when they stamp it out, giving them a littering ticket. Sandy Perry of the San Jose Community Student Homeless Alliance gives his report. He's still active over in San Jose after 23 years, as far as I know. You'll hear Mark Watson's broken wrist story, Mama Tama's report on the last days of the 7.5 month-long City Hall Sleepers Vigil. She died soon thereafter. one of the many activists who spent time at City Hall, as the Freedom Sleepers did for the last 2 years, challenging the sleeping ban and putting us in a situation where we are now, where the sleeping ban is not being enforced as a law generally. It's, however, being replaced by other laws that Mills, our police chief, is cannily using instead. Trespass laws, closed areas laws, blocking the sidewalk laws. You're also going to hear a lengthy segment of Richard Quigley, Rough Rider Richard Quigley, a longtime activist, irascible, bearded challenger of court proceedings, very respectful of deputies, but no-nonsense guy who would challenge deputies. Had a show on free, well, he had no show on free radio, but he had a show on KSCO for a while until the Mark Tracy, then the sheriff, sent one of his deputies to intimidate Michael Zwirling, the head of KSCO, to take Richard Quigley off the air. And Quigley, who was friends with Zwirling, didn't want to challenge Zwirling, even though I think he should have. I like Mike Zwirling at different times, though Zwirling has refused to have me on the air after different... he goes back and forth with that. But when I mention free radio, he goes into a shit fit. He doesn't want any other radio station mentioned on his huge radio station. He's got a huge AM radio station in Santa Cruz, 1080 AM. And he's actually got a couple of other frequencies, too. So you'll have all that ahead of you if you choose to listen to this October 27th, 1996 broadcast. Give me a call if you have any suggestions, news reports, and definitely come to the protest that is happening at City Hall, 6:15, day after tomorrow, February 12th, 2019, to demand such basic things as open bathrooms, facilities for people who are living in their vehicles or RVs, so they can park without being harassed, and indeed, in terms of enforcing the law, even as it's written, so that they don't get harassed in excess of the 72-hour law, which is being used as a pretext to beat people over the head, but actually isn't really being fairly enforced, according to at least some vehicle dwellers. You'll be able to come to challenge the archaic and repressive procedures of Maxine Watkins, the mayor, and city manager Martine Bernal, who should be fired. Nice guy, though he may be personally. We need new management there. We need new heads of the departments. We need people who don't block items on the agenda, such as has happened to Drew Glover's five or six recommendations that he and homeless activists spent several weeks pounding out very, very particularly and very, very carefully in order to get some action, not just mere chatter from the four-person progressive majority. So that's all going to be happening starting at 6:15 on Tuesday. The actual city council session starts at 7. If you want to see the destruction of, or should I say, the joke that the rent control just eviction protection movement has turned into, come earlier at the afternoon session, which starts at 12:30, but it probably won't be reaching that point of that particular agenda item, which I think is 16 or 17, until you get to 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But they are starting very, very early, I guess, with the anticipation of having a long debate and discussion on ADUs and other subjects. Keep a close eye on the city council majority, because those four people who are the progressives, Crone, Brown, Cummins, and Glover, whose name I will continue to mangle, have the power at any time to overrule the mayor, and they aren't doing it. And every time they don't do it, shout from the audience that you demand action from them, because that seems to be needed to get them off their reluctant butts at city council, at least some of them. And it's important that the people speak, or you will simply not be heard. That's kind of a truism, isn't it? Anyway, that's it for this edition of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Thank you for listening. And now it's a zip back in time to October of 1996.